I am still Ellen, a compulsive overeater and food addict. I will start at the beginning. I was born fat. My parents always told me that I was an enormous baby. I was 9 pounds, 15 ounces at birth, and I only ever remember being fat. I was the largest child in my kindergarten class, and at 5 or 6, large and fat are the same. I look at pictures of myself when I was in kindergarten and first grade and second grade, and I, in fact, was not fat. But the other kids said I was, and I believed that I was. And I had two extraordinarily overweight parents. And so eating was the most important thing in our home and in our lives. My earliest memories are about what kind of snacks they served at preschool, not what I learned there, not toys that I played with, but what I ate. I can remember my parents deciding to send my sister, who's a year older than I am, and even I'm 5'10", my sister's 6 feet tall, and they decided we were both too big, and they would send us to what they call here is diet camp, but we refer to it as fat camp, pardon the expression. And I went for 3 summers to fat camp, and the only goal was for me to lose weight. And I would, of course, because if I'm in a place where there's nothing to do but eat healthy food and exercise, and I have no choices, I can do that. I would lose 20, 30, 40 pounds over the summer, and by Thanksgiving, I would gain 20, 30, 40 pounds back. At 11, I was diagnosed with pediatric hypertension, and the cardiologist said that it was from yo-yo dieting at 11 years old. So my entire development was centered around what I could and could not eat, what I could and could not get away with. I remember wrapping cookies in a paper towel and putting them in my underwear so that I could walk upstairs past my mom and be able to eat in my room, because that was much more important than anything else. And it made me feel good. But you know, I was mercifully teased as a child. You know, kids ask me if my father was King Kong or the Jolly Green Giant, and I only ever knew being bigger, and eventually I fulfilled the other part of it, which was just being fatter. And by the time I got to middle school, I had two problems. I was pretty overweight, and I only wanted the attention of boys my age. And they, of course, were not ready for that. And they also weren't looking at me as, you know, someone who was attracted or attractive to them. So I spent a lot of years through middle school, through high school, going on diets, weighing myself. I have a notebook that has my weight in it 6 or 7 times a day, the date, the time, and how much I weighed, and whether or not I went to the gym, and whether or not I ate a cucumber. It was, for a long time, the only thing that really made a difference to me is in that moment, was I fat or thin? And I never got thin. I never found a way to stay on any food plan long enough to actually lose a significant amount of weight. So I just kept being the funny fat friend. And I did a lot of stupid things to make people pay attention to me. I put myself in situations I should not have been in because I was desperate for people's attention, and I just wanted people to like me. And so I got heavier and I got more obsessed with my weight, and I became funnier and more depressed. And by the time I left for college in the fall of 1985, I thought I was disgustingly obese. I thought that nothing that I could do would change it. And I went to college for one semester, and then I started having panic attacks. And the only thing that would help my panic attacks was eating, whether it be bread or pretzels or crackers. I could feed my fear and I would feel better for a little while. And so I continued to do that, and I left college, and I tried unsuccessfully many times. It took me 12 years to get my bachelor's, but I couldn't find any kind of happiness because I truly believed that my problems would all be solved if I was thinner. And so I dieted and I lost weight, and I'd lose 20 pounds and gain 30, and every time, they'd come back with friends, and I was in my early 20s, and my sister started going to OA, and she would come home and talk about, people having a food addiction and people being compulsive eaters. And all I heard was there are people going to eating disorder rehab and losing weight. And to me, that sounded like diet camp. So I went to a couple of OA meetings. I met people who had been in rehab, and within 2 months, I was on a plane to Florida to spend a month in a mental hospital for the eating disorder that I had no real idea that I had until I got there. And I learned very quickly that I could not hide my addiction to sugar, that I could not hide my food behaviors. And as much as I wanted to every single day go home because they wouldn't give me a cracker for my anxiety attacks, I stayed for the course of the treatment, and I stopped eating sugar, I stopped using caffeine, and I stopped eating compulsively. And that was in the fall of 1991. And I came home and I went to meetings, and I white knuckled my abstinence because though I learned that I had an eating disorder, I did not believe that I was powerless over it because I had successfully dieted many times. And I was looking in my journal. So fast forward 6 months from when I got back from eating disorder rehab, I was still not eating sugar. I was still not using caffeine, but I was already back to eating compulsively. And on March 4th, 1991, I told my journal, "Good morning. I am giving up. I have taken back my will, and whoosh, my life is totally unmanageable again. I am powerless and I am not in control, and I pray for this to be better every day, but abstinence is not something that I can do." I believe that I can control my life, and that if I allow myself, I can be everything I want to be. So after a few months in the program, I took my will back and I didn't walk into another meeting. I had already pretty much stopped going to meetings at that point. And I spent the next 30 years not eating sugar, not using caffeine, but dieting and eating compulsively and dieting and eating compulsively. And I got to the point where it was my very average weight, what I thought was normal for me, because I kept finding that weight was about 285 pounds. Let's see if I can. Nope. It says I can't, probably because I'm recording. I'll show it to you later because it won't let me share. So I weighed 280 pounds and I lost 75 pounds, and I weighed 280 pounds and I lost 90 pounds. But I wasn't recovering. I was abstaining only. And my food plan worked for me, but I wasn't recovering. And every time I got close to my goal, every time I felt like I was living in a normal body, my disease told me that I wasn't okay, and that food would make me okay. And I gained the weight back every single time. And in 2016, it wasn't even because I wanted to. My niece came to me and asked me if I would pay for her to go to a diet club because she was in graduate school. And I said, yes. And she said, okay, I'll go, but you have to go with me. I weighed 285 pounds and dieting wasn't even on my agenda at that point. I had given up. I was 6 months before my 50th birthday, and I didn't have it in me. But I went with her because she was young, and I thought that you know, her life didn't have to be like mine. And then after a couple of weeks on a food plan, I started to lose weight. And dieting is something I know how to do. So I said, I'm going to lose 50 pounds by my 50th birthday and 100 pounds by New Year's. And I did that. But I was not recovering. And I lived on that food plan for a couple of years. And slowly but surely, my weight started to go back up. And on my birthday, 12 months ago, I decided, because of COVID and because of my long-term abstinence, living on my food plan, that I deserved a celebration. So I had sugar-free cake, and I had sugar-free brownies, and I had pasta. And within 24 hours, my disease was back full blast. And I had been pretty clean for 3 years. I ate everything I could get my hands on. And within 4 months, I had gained 35 pounds. And I knew in the middle of COVID that there was only one thing I could do, which is find an OA meeting. And I went online and I Googled. I had no idea that there were virtual OA meetings, but I thought maybe there was a phone meeting or something I could join. And I went to a meeting in October, and I thought to myself, thank God. Thank God this meeting is here, and thank God I have a choice. And it took me not very long. I realized that the mistake I'd made the first time I was in the program was that I tried to sponsor myself. And I got a sponsor as quickly as I could, and I started working the steps. And I reminded myself every day that I am powerless over food, and that my life has become unmanageable. And every day for the first however many days, I had to remind myself of it. And every day I would join a meeting or two meetings.
5 minutes remaining.
Thank you, Janet. Or three meetings. And I kept working the steps and I kept doing what my sponsor told me to do. And I stopped worrying about whether or not I was losing weight. I started worrying about whether or not I had sanity and whether or not the disease of compulsive overeating was afflicting me in the moment. And today, I just had another birthday 2 weeks ago, and I spent that birthday in recovery, and I spent that birthday feeling nothing but gratitude because I don't have another 100-pound weight loss in me. And if I hadn't crawled back into the rooms in October and they hadn't been waiting for me, I would have gained 100 pounds by now. And I'm not sure I would have survived that. So what today is like is I follow my food plan and I commit every day when I wake up in the morning to being committed. I ask myself that question every day. What is my level of commitment today? And no matter how I feel, I tell myself it's high. It's very, very high. And I actually raise my arm up over my head and I look at my hand and I remember that I have a choice. I can recover one day at a time from compulsive eating, or I can eat myself to death, because I only know two things for sure. Number one, in my experience, very overweight people in their disease don't live a long time. And number two, I have an option. And for today, I choose to live in the solution and not in the problem, because the problem is waiting for me. I have no doubt that it's waiting for me. I have no doubt that it will find me in a nanosecond if I stop working my program. And I know that my abstinence from compulsive eating will keep me alive today. And that's really all I want. I want to live one day at a time. I want to live sanely. I want to be emotionally available to my family and to my friends. And I want to be able to help other people, because that's what this program is all about. It's about service. So I took a service position and I am willing to do whatever I need to do to help other people. And that's what the program means to me today. I appreciate everyone letting me share. It's the first time I have told my story in 30 years since my original first step. And I couldn't be happier to be here, and I couldn't be happier that all of you are here. So thank you so much.